This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is back on Monday. Last week, the interim CEO of the internet company Reddit announced that it's going to stop negotiating salaries with potential hires. The change is an effort to help close the wage gap for women who CEO Ellen Pao says are more likely to fall behind men in salary negotiations. Instead, Reddit says it'll offer what is fair. The move has drawn praise and criticism. It could represent a shift in hiring practices if it turns out to be successful. Lily Garcia joins us now. She's an employment attorney with nearly 20 years of experience advising clients, primarily in the high tech and education sectors. Lily, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Rob.
So how radical a move is this to stop negotiating salaries with potential hires at this high tech online company?
You know, Rob, it's drawn a lot of positive attention, but from my perspective as an employment attorney and HR professional, it's simply an HR policy decision not to negotiate salaries. So it comes at a point in time where Ellen Pao is getting a lot of attention because of her recent lawsuit, and she's certainly become a champion for the cause of the equality of women in the workplace. But I don't see this as something enormously radical.
So how, can you explain the thinking behind the move? Ellen Pao at Reddit is making the case that if we get rid of negotiations here, it's going to help equalize pay between men and women doing the same job. What's the connection there?
It very well may do that, and it may do that for her company. What it does is it eliminates a negotiation advantage. So the research certainly supports the proposition that men tend to negotiate more aggressively than women when they negotiate for salaries. And then when women do negotiate for salaries, both men and women are less likely to view that woman favorably for having negotiated. And what that reveals is a sense of gender bias in salary negotiations. And that is what Pao is trying to address in her policy decision. So it does eliminate that advantage, but it does not get at the heart of the issue. It doesn't eliminate the upstream gender bias issue. And it also requires faith that that company is actually committed to upholding their end of the bargain and not negotiating with some people and not with others.
Yeah, that's been some of the criticism here. And also people have said, well, if the pay isn't transparent, if we don't know what our colleagues, for example, are getting paid, it doesn't matter if you negotiate or not. We have no idea if the pay is equitable then.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've gone back and forth on this myself because very clearly there is a gender bias issue, but I'm not sure that this is the best answer to that issue. I think that having an open dialogue and committing to a conversation in the workplace about why gender bias exists and sort of unearthing some of the preconceived notions that people come with to the workplace may help to remediate some of these issues during the salary negotiation process. But certainly, as a business executive, I can tell you that being able to negotiate a salary is a good indication of your ability to negotiate other things in the workplace, and it is a valuable skill.
Well, let's get to some of the basics here. I mean, how big a problem is it in this day and age of inequitable pay between men and women doing, again, the same or comparable work?
You know, that's interesting because there's some debate about that. You know, it's often quoted that women in the U.S. still earn only 77 cents on the dollar compared to men. But when you dig behind that issue, part of the reason for that pay disparity is the fact that women are willing to take jobs that pay less and are willing to take part-time jobs. And if you dig even further, part of the reason for that is that women make certain choices about the way they spend their time in their lives. For better or for worse, they do tend to be the primary caregivers for children, and they are more willing to make compromises in their careers more than their male counterparts, and that's part of what Sheryl Sandberg was getting at in her very famous book. So yes, there is a pay disparity on paper, but I don't think that we've really done the work analytically at getting behind that reported pay disparity and unearthing the reasons why it is what it is.
Talking to Lily Garcia about pay disparities between men and women, and in particular, triggered by one effort to tackle that, the online company Reddit saying they're going to stop negotiating with new hires. Apparently, there's a negotiation advantage for men and negotiating penalty for women when it comes to getting better salaries. So, Lily, you mentioned different maybe career-life-work balance issues being a part of the factor in pay disparities. theories, given that maybe all the research isn't in yet, what else is out there accounting for these disparities?
I believe that's what it is. I don't think that we completely understand sociologically what part of this is a free will decision on the part of a well-informed woman if the direction her career is taking, and what part of this is actually a product of gender bias in the way that decisions in the home are made. We don't completely understand it. So we stand at an important crossroads. And I, you know, as I thought about this issue, I almost hesitate to make the analogy, but it keeps coming back to me as an apt one. It's a little bit like forced busing of students during desegregation. Do we kind of force these issues and force the outcome that we want and force the playing field to be level? Or do we try to work upstream and get at some of the causes of the issue and try to win the hearts and minds of people and get them to become a little bit more enlightened in how they operate in the workplace?
Now, as you mentioned, and as I just restated there, there's a negotiation penalty for women. A woman will be less successful maybe doing the same things as a man does in negotiating for a salary.
Without a doubt.
What's behind that? Why would two candidates, otherwise more or less equal, be treated differently in that situation?
What is behind that is gender bias, and that is the opportunity for our society to recognize that, to recognize that there are certain qualities that, quite frankly, are very, as I said earlier, very desirable in business for which we do penalize women. And there is absolutely no doubt that we do that. But I'm not sure that the answer, you know, I'm unconvinced, I would say. I'm not sure that the answer is to just eliminate that negotiation advantage. I think that perhaps a more enlightened view might be to just change the way that we do business with the women that we're hiring.
Easy to say, hard to do, I think. What would be first steps toward changing that?
It's diversity training. It's this very, very high-quality diversity training. I know that diversity is a maligned word in this day and age because there are so many forms of diversity training that aren't very intelligent, that are just a band-aid, don't really accomplish the objective. But it really is about getting people to deeply understand their ingrained habits and their perspectives and where they come from, and to come around to appreciating the value. And I don't mean this from an altruistic standpoint, just from a business results standpoint, of having people with different perspectives at the table. And if businesses and people in business could simply understand this, then they would be far less inclined to judge people who come from different backgrounds.
Now, this has been a hot issue in the high-tech world, and it's partly hot because the high-tech world gets talked about on social media and online a lot. A lot of people are trying to make this conversation happen. There's been a lot of backlash against the people trying to make this conversation happen. How do we approach these issues in a way that doesn't just devolve into angry comments in a comment section or a Facebook page?
I think it's a little bit like the way Al Gore approached the environmentalist movement, right? It's really understanding, and from his perspective, right, what's good for the environment is good for business. From this perspective, what is good for people, what creates equality, and what creates diversity in the workplace is actually what is good for business. We need a diversity of perspectives at the table. Otherwise, our businesses simply will not remain competitive.
Well, connect the dots there. I think a lot of people hear that, and we've had callers in the past saying, who cares on a committee what the makeup is? As long as they're qualified, as long as they're skilled people, there's going to be a good outcome.
Well, there simply won't. And the research demonstrates, for example, that people who are on a committee who have diverse Myers-Briggs profiles, for example, will come up with more creative and more effective solutions to business problems than people who are on homogenous teams. It's that area of research is sort of, you know, black letter textbook. It's very well established that diversity does produce more creative and better business results.
Now, we're talking about highly skilled, better compensated segments of the labor force here. How about, there's a lot of people in retail jobs, fast food jobs, things like that, where I assume you don't really get to negotiate. You take or leave what they offer you. Do we have a sense of if there's that same kind of gender bias in pay at those levels of the workforce?
There is still a margin for negotiation. In my experience, every job comes with a pay range, even if it's very rigid. Now, at the higher, more executive levels, there is a much broader range, but there is still a budget for that job. and you can negotiate to be at the top of that budget if you know how to play your cards right. And I would, you know, at this point, just default to quoting Jack Welch and saying you want every brain in the game. So even in a very entry-level position, it does advantage your business to seek out diversity of perspectives, because you want to foster an organization where everybody is thinking about improvement in the way that you do business and contributing their ideas.
We were talking to Lily Garcia. She's an employment attorney. She has a lot of experience advising clients in the high tech and education sectors in particular, longtime advice columnist on workplace issues. We're talking about news that the internet company Reddit is going to stop negotiating salaries with its potential hires, the idea that it's going to help close the wage gap for women in that industry. What do you think? Do you think this is a good idea that could help women catch up to men salary-wise? Or is there another way, another road to get that done? Is it fair to men and women? Would getting rid of salary negotiations be better than other approaches? Coaching women maybe to be better, more effective negotiators? Have you negotiated for salary in your work? How'd that turn out for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, the internet company Reddit announced it's going to stop negotiating salaries with their potential hires. They say the negotiation process puts women at a disadvantage. We're talking to Lily Garcia. She's an employment attorney with 2 decades of experience advising clients, mainly in high-tech and education sectors. She says she's not sure this is really going to make that much of a difference when it comes to unequal pay for men and women. What do you think? Is this a good idea that could help women catch up to men salary-wise? Is it fair to both men and women? If you don't like this idea, what might work better? Call 800-642-1234. And if you're a woman in the workplace, you've seen pay inequity. What do you think led to that? What would you like to see change? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Daniel on the line in Milwaukee. Daniel, hi.
How you doing?
What do you think?
I don't think that this, the way the Reddit CEO is approaching this, is a good idea. Only because when you force diversity through special treatment in a workplace, in a place where people commit themselves to succeeding, putting food on the table, planning for retirement, it breeds resentment and it fosters, you know, alienation against, you know, minorities, women in the workplace, all these things that perpetuate these issues. It could be fixed just by, you know, waiting and having, you know, minorities in the workplace is now it's a normal thing in almost every industry, and that happens with time, and it'll happen with women with time. You know, there are numerous female CEOs making tons of money and who are very successful, and as time goes on, it will become more common. But if we force people to accept not being able to argue for a slightly higher salary because some CEO doesn't want to have complaints from women about their pay, they're going to resent the women in the workplace.
Daniel, thanks for the call. A lot there, Lily. But do you think this kind of change or other efforts might provoke more resentment than they solve problems? Lily, oh, we lost Lily Garcia. We'll get her back on the line. In the meantime, you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the idea. Do you see this as a big problem for you? Maybe in your workplace, a place you've worked in the past, a differential pay between men and women. What are the causes? What solutions would you like to see? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can email us talk@WPR.org. Lily Garcia is back with us. Lily, the gist from the caller there, that a change like this, getting rid of negotiations or anything else attempting to sort of by fiat level the playing field, is going to generate a lot of resentment, do that more than actually solve any problems.
You know, I would agree with Daniel that forcing diversity on an organization does breed resentment and alienation. But I really don't feel like this, what Pau is suggesting, is very forceful. I think what she's saying is, and it's actually, if you read between the lines, very much advantageous to her business. I mean, she's been criticized for paying below market salaries. What she's saying is, hey, listen, I'm not going to negotiate with anybody. And by the way, the reason that I'm doing this is because women have a negotiation disadvantage in the hiring process. So I'm just not going to do that. But what it does is create an advantage for her organization.
Thanks for the call, Daniel. Before we get to back to callers, Lily, if we can adventure into a little advice. If there's a woman out there maybe starting a new job, she's heard about this negotiation penalty where she might actually be looked down on for negotiating for salary. So what's she supposed to do?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Rob, because that is where the change begins to happen. It's similar to what Daniel was discussing. Change happens over time. If women give up on negotiating, change is never going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is when women negotiating for the salaries they deserve becomes a commonplace practice, so commonplace, in fact, that nobody would expect them to do anything differently. And that is when the bias is going to start to fall away.
Go back to our callers. We've got John on the line in Beloit. John, hi.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me. Historically, corporations were designed to build bridges, canals, things like that, things that actually bettered our nation as a whole. Today, they do not. I think it'd be better if corporations in general had set structured pay ranges like the GS system for the federal government. I'm not saying they should have everything, but that way everything's already laid out. As a corporation, they're not a private, I mean, they're a corporation. They're created by the government. If that, otherwise, they don't benefit the whole nation as a whole. And then you have CEO salaries in hundreds of millions of dollars and so forth. And it kind of throws it all out of balance. But if it was a private company, they should be able to do anything they want. But then they hold all the liability to themselves, and it creates a difference. I'll take your comment off the air.
Wait, John, I just want to be clear. You're saying if it's a publicly traded corporation, publicly licensed corporation, there should be government guidelines on pay ranges?
Yeah, because they're created by the government. That's the reason. I mean, how do you think a corporation came to be?
Gotcha. John, I just wanted to clarify that point. So, Lily, whether it came from the government or from a corporation itself, a set pay structure right out there, out front, not behind closed doors negotiations. Is that a possible alternative here?
I think if a company is if they're kind of at the top of their S-curve and they're really trying to do something groundbreaking and innovative, they're going to have to abandon any kind of set pay structure, because what they're going to want to do is disproportionately reward, first, those positions that are most strategically valuable to that organization, and secondly, the people who are the top performers in those positions. That's the way they're going to create that strategic advantage for the organization and creating the new S-curve and getting them into a position of competitive advantage. So maybe for an organization that isn't there yet, that is sort of in the middle of the S-curve, a pay scale will work, and certainly that brings a lot of stability and predictability to the operations of the business. But there does come a point at which the organization will need to break away from that.
Quick definition, Lily, S-curve. I don't know that one.
An S-curve,
in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, so when a company is at the beginning of any sort of cycle, and usually it's a cycle of innovation, they're at the bottom of a curve, and you plot that along a graph, right? And then the curve kind of goes up in the shape of an S and then levels out at the top. And if the company wishes to remain competitive in their field, they're going to have to create a new S-curve to layer on top of that one to create more lift for the organization. Otherwise, what the S will do is ultimately, if you follow my visual, it will trend down.
Aha. Okay, and they don't want that. Well, a minute ago I asked you for advice for a woman in the situation of getting a new job and negotiating. You said women should continue to negotiate until it becomes commonplace. Let's flip it around. From the corporate culture side of things, knowing that studies have shown, as you say, there is a bias against women who negotiate, maybe there's a business leader listening, what do you suggest to them to change things to look at a negotiation from a man and a woman more or less equally?
I would just say change starts with you. That is the locus of the change that we're seeking. So keep an open mind and evaluate every candidate on the merits, and don't allow your personal biases regarding what kind of negotiation behavior is appropriate or inappropriate for a man or a woman come into play when it comes to hiring decisions. Not only because it's morally wrong, but because it doesn't make any sense for the business. You really should be hiring the most qualified person for the job and not just the person who you like the most.
I want to look at long-term trends. We heard earlier from our caller, Daniel, who said, hey, it's going to take time. We're seeing improvements. Women will eventually achieve something at parity or something close to it in the workforce. Is that the trend, A, and is it happening quickly? Because if you're a woman in the workforce now, hearing that it's going to happen eventually may not be of great comfort.
I'm kind of with Daniel, you know, with the caveat that I am an eternal optimist. I am a child of the 70s, and I saw my mother struggle as an executive in the media industry and everything that she had to endure. And I can tell you, and you couldn't tell this on the radio, but I'm not only a woman, but I'm also a minority. And my pathway has been a lot smoother than hers was. And so I can tell you from just anecdotal experience that things have gotten easier, and I believe that they will. And maybe it won't be as quickly as some people would like, but I believe that it is trending in a positive direction.
Bringing it back to our starting point here with the company Reddit and Ellen Powell doing this thing, trying to get rid of negotiations to balance things out. You're not sure this idea will work. Do you think, though, that it's getting the conversation going in a positive way?
It is. And I have to commend Powell because she has really stepped out and taken a bold position on this issue. And I think it started an important conversation.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Lily, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
That's Lily Garcia. She's an employment attorney. We've been talking about the company Reddit's announcement that it will end salary negotiations in an effort to end the pay gap between men and women. You can still share your thoughts, by the way. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. And while you're there, remember it's International Haiku Day. Maybe give us a seasonal Wisconsin-oriented haiku. That's Twitter at Central Time WPR. Stick around. There's more to come. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.